Well, good morning, BAC. Welcome to BAC this morning. Happy New Year to everyone. If you're new with us, my name is Keith. I'm one of the pastors here. And so if you are new with us, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning at BAC. And if you've been a long time BACer, we welcome you as well. Thanks for being here with us. This morning, we have the privilege of hearing my friend Matt Johnson. He's going to come preach the word to us in a minute. I'm just going to ask him to come up if he's ready to come. No, he's not. Matt is a good friend of mine that we met here in Vancouver. He's become like a brother from a different mother. Oh, Matt. Love you, man. Love you. Matt is, I don't know, he's you wouldn't know it, but he's really cool. But... Matt, like, he's literally, like, really similar to me. We've somehow discovered we have the same music taste, same movie taste. Everything about us is the same other than the fact that he's white and I'm Chinese. And but I love this guy. He's a brother to me, and most importantly, he loves the gospel. He loves Jesus, and he loves the word, and he loves preaching the word. And so he's here with us, and we just want to welcome him. Before he begins, I'm going to pray for him, and we'll get him going. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for your word, Lord, and that your word is life to us, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, that we get to hear your word this morning. I pray for my friend Matt as he preaches your word to us, that your truth would come out loud and clear this morning, Lord, and that we pray that you would fill him with your spirit and that you empower him, Lord, as he preaches, Lord, that your word would pierce our hearts, Lord, as we listen. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, whatever Holy Spirit you want to say to us this morning, I pray, God, that you would open our hearts up to you, and that we would that you would transform us and change us in accordance to your will, Lord. So we pray that today that you would be glorified above all things. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Is this on?
Yes. Perfect. Thank you, Keith.
Good. I'm good.
Well, good morning, BAC. How are we doing? Oh, okay, I like this section. They respond. Let's try it with everyone else. How are we doing? Happy New Year! All right. No, just as Pastor Keith said, he is a fantastic friend. Sometimes in the things that you do, so for me, I work in ministry, and sometimes it's a very busy place. There's lots of people, but sometimes it can be very lonely. And so to have Keith, those shoulders to cry on and all that, no, it is so good to have a friend like Keith in ministry. And so glad that he is your pastor here at the church. So I don't have a title for this message, I'm sorry, but we're going to be in the book of Colossians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, that's a book in the New Testament. So if you're new to the Bible, there's two Testaments. There's Old Testament, New Testament. We're going to be in the New Testament right after the book of Philippians. You're going to find the book of Colossians. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He's actually writing this from prison. And I'm excited to look at what it has to say today. Because sometimes we can look at this and go, yeah, why do we look at the Bible? You know, it's just an old book. There's other things we can look at, blogs and new books and new theories and new ideas. But we have to look at this as what it actually is. And I believe that this is the Word of God. And sometimes, you know, we hear that phrase, but what that means is it's God's Word. He spoke these things for a reason. And so even here in 2019, these words were still spoken for a reason. For reasons back then and for reasons now. And as this is God's Word, I want to pay attention to it. I could be listening to anything right now, but I don't believe that this Word is just a good idea or a good suggestion, but it's God's Word. And if God claims to be the creator of all things and claims to be the creator of your life, I think we need to listen to it, and I think we need to read it. And so that's what we're going to be doing today. So Colossians chapter 3. And what you're going to be seeing is Paul is writing to people that he knows. He started a church in Colossae, and now he is writing to this church. And one of the things that they are dealing with is community. they're dealing, oh, I just noticed someone. How's it going? They are dealing with community issues. They have no problem living for Christ. They have no problem subjecting themselves to God's will. But Paul says, no, it's not just about your relationship with God. It's also about your relationship with others that are following God. And so what he talks about in this chapter is, how do we do life for God together? I'm going to say that again. How do we do life for God together? Because at this time of the season, have you heard the word resolution? Have you broken the word resolution already? Yes, good. Thank you. Oh, I love this section. They need to be here every time. They talk back. excuse me. But resolution, what do we do with that? This is a chance to resolve some things that we would like done in our life. This is a chance where we can start anew. There's something about that. This is just a regular month, but when January hits, for some reason, it feels like we have a clean slate. Okay, I have a chance to be the best version of myself, or I have a chance to do this now, or I have a chance to do this. But the thing with goals, the thing with resolutions, they're usually what? Single-focused. But what Paul gives here is he gives not a resolution, but he gives something more. He gives relationship. He says, guys, your Christian life, it's not just about trying harder or doing what's right. No, it's about the relationship with God. And having a relationship with God means that you do life with others. So we're going to be looking at that today. So I'm going to read this and then pray, and then we'll get into it. Sound good? So Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and I just pray that you would take over at this time. Would you please teach us what your word is saying so long ago and right now? Lord, would you give us understanding? Would you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to you right now? In Jesus' name, amen. So I have two daughters, Penny and Lucy, and Penny is in grade 2, but when she was in kindergarten, you know, we weren't sure if the world was ready for Penny yet, okay? We're like, will this be okay? And so we send her to school, and we get a good report from her teacher, and we're so excited. Yes, people accept our daughter. This is great. And, excuse me. Wow. Okay. And we're really excited that she was doing so well in school, but her teacher did say one thing. You know, she's great, but after lunchtime, she starts to slow down. She gets a bit cranky, a bit sleepy, and it's kind of hard for her to perform and keep up in school. I'm like, that's kind of weird. So I had an opportunity to do some surveillance. So I went to a parent luncheon, and so I got to sit with my daughter, and she was the first on the lunch carpet. And so I'm sitting there with her and just say, okay, so far, school's been good, but let's see what happens after lunch. And so I'm talking with Penny, but while we're talking, she sees someone come into the class, and she goes, Susie, come sit with me. I'm like, oh, that's pretty nice. And then another boy walks in, Michael, come sit with me. I'm like, no, you don't need boys. Don't be inviting them here. But she's inviting other people, and then she sees a third grader. She's in kindergarten, but a third grader, hey, come sit with me. Come have lunch with me. And I kid you not, like 15 kids are gathered around my daughter. She even invites the teacher, Miss Cass, come sit with me. I'm like, Penny, you're a community master. This is amazing. Teacher, like the students become the teacher. Are you seeing this? This is great. But I noticed something. She was talking with everyone, and everyone was eating their lunch except for one person. Guess who it was? It was Penny. Now, she got it right. She was understanding community and getting people involved, but she was missing the point of lunch. You're not just supposed to get people around. You're supposed to eat this lunch so that you can continue in school. And in the same way, when we hear the word community, when we hear the words doing life together, getting people involved in our lives, getting ourselves involved in the lives of others. When we talk about community or doing life together, we can think of several things, clubs, friends, meetings. But Paul, the writer of this chapter, the author of this chapter, tells us that there is no better community than community with Christ, that Christ is the point of doing life together. It's not just getting people together in a room. No, there needs to be a source. There needs to be a purpose, and that's Christ. So out of this chapter, which Paul is writing from prison, as I said, I would like to ask us three questions at the beginning of this new year that we need to address in our lives as we follow Christ. Here are the three questions. What are you wearing? Can you say that with me? What are you wearing? Who are we listening to? How are you walking? All right, pretty simple. Now, I know those sound like country music titles. I promise you that's not it. That's very far from the case. So the first one, what are you wearing? Clothe yourself with Christ, as Paul says in verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So put on these spiritual clothes. Because Paul, as we see in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking to people who have had a relationship with Christ. There's been impact. There's been change. And he even says, quite dramatically, the old self is gone. The new self with Christ, is gone. Now this with Christ is on. So what does this mean to put on these spiritual clothes? Now, I have heard it said that clothes make the person. Have you heard that? No one? Oh, come on. Just lie to me. Okay. Clothes make the person. You can tell a lot about a person about just simply by what he or she is wearing. Any people watchers out there? You go to the mall just to stare at people? Just me again. Okay, come on, guys. Sometimes. Thank you. This row. Amazing. Okay. For example, okay, if you were to see this person, based on the clothes, what would you say they do?
A doctor.
A nurse. Someone to help people. That's what those clothes tell you about the person, right? Okay, what do these clothes tell you? Drive faster, right? No, not at all. The police, to serve, to protect. They have the citizens' best interests at heart, right? Yes? What about that? What did these clothes tell you? Single for life, right? I'm kidding. Happy for life. And I'm sorry to do this to my friend, but what did these clothes tell you about this person? Isn't that awesome? I think that's good. I love that. Cool. Okay, you can get off that. Or you can keep it up, whatever you want. So, back to our chapter. Paul is talking to a group who have already put on these clothes. They've put on the new self. They've identified themselves with Christ. And he says, as Christians, followers of Christ, we need to remember that we are the beloved of God. We are rescued, chosen by God. That's our identity. We are rescued people. We are chosen by God. And now Paul says that they are to put on specific characteristics of the Christian, the characteristics of the new self. Now, like trying to break in new clothes, this isn't always the easiest thing to do, as it takes time to get used to moving around, and there can be tension between the position and practice of the believer. Basically, the Christian is a new self, and we have to learn how to act like it. We have to learn to put these things on. So, we wear the appropriate clothes, compassion, kindness, all of those. Now, Paul says we have to walk in them, as he says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Okay, wait a second. So, Paul, are you saying I'm supposed to wear these clothes that are new to me, that I'm still getting used to, but the purpose of wearing these clothes is so that I can forgive people? What if I don't want to wear these clothes? What if I don't want to forgive people? For example, have you ever tried dressing a toddler? No? Come on, this group can't respond to that, okay? You can't? It's impossible. You know, you put on socks. What do they do with the socks? They take them off. You put on a short sleeve shirt. What do they say? I wanted a dress. You know, and you can't do it. And then when you say, fine, dress yourself. And then they come out and what's happened? Like their pants are on their head. They're naked. You know, they're like, I'm ready. And like, come on, right? Now, I'm kind of like that, besides the naked part. But I'm kind of like that when it comes to this. I don't want to be compassionate right now. I know as a Christian, I'm supposed to put on these clothes, but I don't want to be compassionate right now. Why? I just don't like the guy. I just don't like her. She doesn't like me, and so why do I need to be compassionate? Or he doesn't trust me, I don't trust him. Or they don't deserve my kindness. They hurt me. You don't know what they've done to me. And you expect me to put on these clothes and act this way to them? I don't think so. I mean, look at Paul, though. He's teaching us this from where? From prison. Now tell me, this would not be the, wouldn't this be the last place you'd want to put on these clothes? To be kind to people, to be compassionate, to be humble? But what marks Christians for community? For one, we don't hold grudges. And what's more, we forgive. Why do we forgive? Because Christ simply forgave us first. In his book, The Good and Beautiful Community, James Smith adds to this reality of being clothed in Christ by saying this: communities become other-centered when they are steeped in the narrative of the kingdom of God, a place where grace is spoken and lived for as long as needed. Our leader came and served and then died for the good of others. I suppose that would be a pretty good mission statement for a church, but one I'm not likely to see. We exist to serve others and then die, just like our founder. Wow, it's a pretty powerful statement. Instead of repaying malice with malice, Jesus shows us through the cross to love those who reject us. Praying or simple acts of kindness for those who reject us to give Jesus the glory. But it also allows us to discover more of his character within ourselves. We begin forgiving past our own strength and loving more deeply because of him. And just like pants need a belt or a shirt needs buttons, Paul reminds us that the example of Christ is what holds all things together. And he says this, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Paul singles out one characteristic above all others, and that is love. The term Paul is using here to talk about love is the most frequently used in the New Testament. You probably are very familiar with it. It's agape. Can you say that with me? Agape. This translates as selfless love that will go to any length to attain the well-being for others. This characteristic consistently describes God's love, as well as the love Christians should have for God, the world, and each other. So yes, I want to wear these clothes. It sounds like a good idea. It sounds better than what I'm wearing on my own. I want to. But what if I can't keep them on for very long? What if I can only be this much compassionate, Matt? What if I can only be kind for this long? I mean, what if I can only practice patience like never, okay? What if I can't do it? Well, let me illustrate it with this. Excuse me. My little girls, they have this awesome little to-do list. It's magnetized. Maybe you've seen it. I'm not sure. But on it, it says things to do and then things accomplished.
And so it'll have a magnet for brushing your teeth, eating breakfast, putting your clothes in the laundry, doing homework, grabbing your backpack. And after you do that, you take the magnet and you put it to the other side. Does that make sense? And so that's what they do to see what they've accomplished that day. Now, for us, that's good. I think we like that. I think that's why we have resolutions. We like having the checklist. We like saying, okay, I was kind to this person. Okay, I was this today. I was compassionate here. But sometimes what happens is when we're so busy doing our own checklist, what are we doing? We're making a checklist for someone else. I was kind to them, and they were not. I was patient, and you were not. And that's what we do. Instead of checking our own lives, we're checking other people's lives. And Paul's list of what Christians should wear is not simply a Christian checklist. Do these, and you'll be a good Christian. That's not what Paul is saying to his readers. Now, for some of us, we like lists. It's visual, it's organized, it's instant gratification when we do it. But the Christian life that Paul is describing is not a to-do list. Okay, love always, be patient. Because on our own, these things will not bring peace as we constantly wonder if we have done enough. Have you been there? Because we're going to keep looking at, cool, I was kind. But did I do enough kindness to get God's attention? Did I do enough for people to see that I'm really taking this seriously? Did I do enough? However, the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for us, or as Paul says, being rooted in love is not about doing, but it's about done. Can you say that with me? It's not about doing, it's about done. We don't follow Jesus because of what we can do. We follow Jesus because of what he has done for us. Our identity as Christ followers is not in what we do, but it's simply in what he has done, and what he has done out of love. Paul tells the church at Colossae that it's not these characteristics alone that make a Christian. I mean, let's be real. Do you have to love Jesus to be a kind person? Do you know some kind people that don't love Jesus? I know a lot. It helps, but you don't have to be a kind, you don't have to love Jesus to be a kind person. Just like you don't have to go to church if you want to show compassion to others. I see lots of people, especially this time of year, being compassionate, and they don't know the love of the Savior. But it is only the love of Christ that can uniquely bring all of these together. Compassion, kindness, humility, binding them in perfect unity. It's not the completion of a list that makes the Christian life possible, but allowing Christ himself, his love, to live through you. This is an illustration, a beautiful illustration. I use it as many times as I can. Maybe you've heard this before. Have you heard of the author C.S. Lewis? Okay, so Chronicles of Narnia, all those books. So he quotes George MacDonald, one of his, I don't know if it's contemporary, but a person that he learned from. And George MacDonald, he was a Puritan, but he was also a children's book writer. And here's a short story that he wrote. And to help me with this, if you don't mind closing your eyes and allowing yourself to be a part of the story as I read. Now, please don't fall asleep, okay? I got a little bit more to go. But just imagine yourself right now. Close your eyes. I can see you. Close your eyes. And imagine yourself in this story. There is a man who wants to build a house. So imagine yourself. You want to build this house. You have the blueprint. You know exactly what it will look like. So you've purchased the materials. You've saved up. And now it's reward time. You get to build your dream. You get to build your house. And so you start. You start with the foundation. It takes a little longer than you thought, but it's done. You start to put up one wall, you put up another frame. The work is good, but now you're starting to feel fatigue. It's a little tiring. It's also a little lonely building this dream home, but the dream keeps you alive, so you keep going. But while you're doing this, someone walks by, and it's God. And maybe you've heard of God before. Maybe you have a relationship with God, but God walks by. And God comes in and says, hey, I see that you're building a house. Would you like some help?
And you say, sure, that would be great. So the man says, yeah, I'll take some help from you. So starts building the house with God. And after a little while, he realizes, wow, this is actually easier. I mean, it's still work, but this is great. Like, God's doing this, and I'm actually just following him, and God's even making jokes, and I'm laughing, and, you know, God is laughing at my jokes, and this is great, and so we're building this house together, and everything is going well. But then all of a sudden, God puts a basement in the house, and then God puts a wing on the house, and builds another room, and then a second story, and then a third story. And the man's going crazy. Wait, this isn't what I had in mind. Follow the blueprints. Wait. And the house is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger than the guy could ever imagine or contemplate. And it's just happening. And he goes, God, stop. What are you doing? This is not the house I was building for myself. And God said, oh, didn't you know I was coming to live with you? You can open your eyes. I wonder if we treat God as a checklist, we're going to forget what it means to have a relationship with him. I ran into a friend the other day at Superstore, and we were talking, and I said, hey, how are you doing? He's like, well, I haven't been in church in the past year, and I haven't really been, you know, having a relationship with God, but my resolution this year is to get closer to him. I said, hey, that's a great resolution. But man, if I were to tell my wife, like, hey, my goal is to get closer to you, and I'm going to start next month. Like, how would that just doesn't work in relationship. You want to see it now, right? You want to see, hey, let's do this. And the same here. We forget that when God is part of our lives, he is our life. He's coming to live with us. And yeah, we have plans. Plans are great. But they're a lousy God. Expectations, they're good, but they're not God. He's the source. As one author put it, it is Christ who lives in us, but we are all different. So how are we supposed to get along? How are we supposed to serve one another? How are we supposed to be, as Paul even says, one body in Christ? Is it possible for all Christians to be the same? I mean, we have different interests. We have different schedules. We have different priorities. But if Christ is the center of all those things, is it possible for all of us to be the same? One writer put it this way. The Christian drama. Isn't that a great starting sentence? The Christian drama. I love that. The Christian drama is an ongoing drama performed by a people who lived in a wide variety of times and places. And we should pay attention with all the critical tools at our disposal to the crucial difference between telling a story differently and telling a different story. Tell the crucial difference between telling a story differently and telling a different story. Let me give you an example. My mother, she was born in the States, but she was raised in the Philippines. So totally different culture to the States, was raised there from the age of 3 to 18. And my father, he was raised in a different foreign field, Texas. And so when they, that was a joke, okay? But when they met, my dad, after a few dates, looked at my mom and said, Michelle, I got to be honest with you. They're, like, you're awesome. But there is no one, I'm just going to say it, there is no one in this world that acts like you. You think differently, you laugh differently, the way you just do things, it's just different. And then after about a year, they went to the Philippines together. And after a few days, my dad said, Michelle, there's an entire nation that acts and thinks and talks just like you. And so I wonder for the same of us, when people meet you, like, wow, there's like no one like you. But then when they meet your family, they're like, oh my goodness, they're reproducing. There's a whole culture just like you. Or how about when you go to work as a Christian, people will say, man, there is no one like you. Like when you're supposed to be sad, there's this like peace about you.
When you're supposed to be frustrated, there's this patience about you. When you're supposed to respond in meanness and revenge, there's this kindness about you. But then maybe when they come to church with you, after 15 hugs later from your friends, and oh, a visitor, they're like, oh, there's like a whole people like you. And I think that's what Paul is getting at. We can be different people, different likes, different interests. But as a Christ follower, there are things that we're going to put on, and there are going to be things that we take off. We're going to take off the world's opinion. We're going to take off the things that are bad for people. But we're going to put on the things that are God's original idea: to be kind, to be peaceful, to be loving. Why? Because He is those things to us. Doing life together with Christ is not just following some moralistic dress code or having to look like everyone else. It's not even about getting along perfectly, as life is messy and quite difficult with others involved. But following Jesus is simply about telling a different story, the story of Jesus, the story that even in our sin, separation from God, loneliness and busyness of searching for the life we want for ourselves, love came down for us and gave us true life freely. But we don't always get along with everyone, do we? Even people inside the church, we don't get along sometimes. So Paul instructs us by saying, who are you listening to? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Everything with rules in this life needs a referee, does it not? If you have rules, you need a referee. Okay, who made that rule? Okay, but right? You need a referee, whether it's a sport, a growing business, an argument, a structure. Someone needs to call the shots. Someone needs to lay the rules. In our text, we see that the work of false teachers posed a threat to the church at Colossae. So Paul is writing to these people saying, I know you're hearing from other people, but you need to remember they're not God. And the people are starting to have new ideas and doubts and controversy. And the thinking and the harmony of the congregation itself is being affected. Knowing this, Paul believed that the peace of Christ would keep them on the proper path in their quest for truth. Even today, we don't see eye to eye with everyone. We don't. But as we tell the Christian story, the good news of the cross, His grace brings our focus to Him. Instead of complaining, we celebrate and live out the life that can only come from Jesus. Instead of crawling into a hole and hoping everything turns out all right, we pray for the peace of Christ, God Himself, to guide our conversations, give us wisdom where there is confusion, clarity where there are blind spots, and justice where there is injustice. And then Paul adds to the command to become thankful. And this is a specific command, as the Colossians were to become thankful people. I've heard it said that it is hard to be mad at someone when you're thankful for them. Think of that for a second. It's hard to be mad at someone when you're thankful for them. Thankfulness points us to the realization that all things are given and provided to us through Christ. There is no room for grumbling or bitterness if thankfulness prevails. Gratitude. So, we're in, or I'm in, okay? We're in. We have put on the jersey, the uniform, the clothes. We're ready to play. We want Christ to live through us. What does this look like practically? This year, what does it mean to have a relationship with Christ? What does that look like for others to see this relationship? Paul concludes with this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Okay, teaching, I can do that. Wisdom, I'll try. Singing, why do I have to sing? Thankfulness in our hearts to God. Okay, what does this mean? How do we keep walking with these clothes on? How do we do it? I have a confession to make. I sometimes watch Netflix. I hope that's okay. Can anyone relate to my confession? Oh, come on. Raise those hands. Okay, there is a show that came on a few days ago, and it has destroyed, in the most delightful way, has destroyed my wife and I. And it is called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Has anyone been watching this? Thank you. One. Good. I see that hand. Good, good. Now, the show and the premise, it's pretty cool. You know, to change your life, and it's pretty fitting for the new year, to change your life, here's the things that you have accumulated, the things that you thought would make your life better, but what's happening, those things are taking priority over your own life, over the relationship of your family. And so Marie comes in, and oh man, you cannot hate this woman. She says, hi, and I'm like, oh, you're so awesome. She's so cool. And she comes in and just, like, she doesn't judge. She's like, oh, wow, what a beautiful house. I'm like, it's a wreck. Are you looking at the same place? And she's like, it's beautiful, beautiful potential, beautiful people, and just really cool. And so what she does is she has a few steps in there. I won't say the exact number because I don't want you to think I watched it that much. But she has a few steps. And it's a pretty cool process. The first process is you have to thank your house, okay? And so it's kind of weird a little bit. Like, people get on their knees and they're essentially like talking and praying to their house. And they're like, thank you for what you've done for us. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm going that far, but yeah, that looks good. And then they have to look at their own personal items and they pile like all their clothes on their bed. And then they touch a garment of clothing. And if it sparks joy, you keep it, but if it doesn't anymore, you say thank you, and you give it away. And so, it's very cool. So at the end of it, you don't have a perfect house, but you do have this lifestyle where you're thankful, where you appreciate the things that come in your house. And one of the things that everyone's thankful for are the relationships that are in that house. They say no longer will stuff take the place of that. And so it's a really cool process. And it's good, and it's practical, and it works. We did it. We put our clothes on the pile. My wife's were bigger than mine, but there was a big pile of clothes. We were thankful. We cleaned up, got rid of a lot of stuff, and it was good, and we felt good. But is that the goal? What's the source? Yes, being thankful is good. But if I'm just thankful to stuff, man, stuff is always going to get in the way of the things that I truly need in my life. I mean, I buy stuff all the time that I don't need, but for some reason I think I need it. Or even relationships. Relationships are good, but people still lie and they hurt. And it's like, okay, how long can I just depend on this clean house? How long can I just depend on this thing? How long can I depend on this? But instead of just real life change, to have real life change, you need a better source. Marie Kondo, awesome source. Not a good God, though. Clean house, it's a good source for a little bit. Lousy God, it's going to get messy again. It just will. Life happens. But you need a better source. Just like we find in verse 17, wisdom, singing, and being thankful, those things are only as good as the source. We don't just sing because we're Christians. We don't just sing to get the attention of God. No, we sing because we are thankful for what God has done. We're proclaiming these truths back to Him and like, God, you already know it, but I got to say it again. You are good. You're a good Father. You're everlasting. You provide. So, as we conclude, living the Christian life is not simply wearing these attributes of kindness and patience and faking it till you make it, but it's all about following what Jesus did. He gave, He forgave, He rose again, and He's coming back. And so, as Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I'm going to conclude at this time, and if you don't mind, if you could just bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to pray in just a few minutes, but if you could bow your head and close your eyes, and the reason for this is just a time between you and God, and if you don't believe in God at this time, this is just a time for you to think about the things that have been said. Maybe you had some thoughts coming into here about God's word. Maybe you respect it, it's a good idea, or maybe you've never heard it. Maybe it's hurt you in the past, or people preaching it has hurt you. But as we see here, God's word, this Bible, it's not just for the individual, but it's for a people. You go through here, all these things were plural. Paul is talking to not an individual, but a people. To live life because of an individual. God. Now we're going to go through life and we're going to look for a better way of living. We will. And we may see something that promotes kindness. And we'll serve that. Maybe we see something that, you know, such as like social justice or a soup kitchen, something that promotes compassion, and we join that. Or we see community, a sports league, or a book club. That's good, bringing people together. But it's not just about doing the action of those things, but it's about the source. And if God is the source, you don't do things just for your benefit. You do things for the benefit of his people. Why? Because that's what God has done for us. He doesn't do things for the benefit of himself. But as we just celebrated with Christmas, he humbles himself. The power that he could have used to change the world, he used it in a different way. He came as a baby. A very, very humble baby, and said, "This is your king. I will be among you. I will be among you. I will feel pain like you. I will be lied to like you. I will be hurt like you. I will be physically damaged like you. But my source is the Father. And he will forgive. He will redeem." And so Christ came to show us what it looked like to live a life that we could not live on our own. And he also died a death that we could not die, or that we deserved. But he took it for us. And so as this new year begins, I wouldn't like this to be a resolution, but just a reminder of whose we are. If there's a time in your life where you said, "God, I want you." As we continue in the chapter, Paul now starts talking to individuals and he says, "This is how a husband should be. This is how a wife should be. Kids, this is how you should be to your parents." And he says, the Christian life is about others. It's about loving God, being loved by God, and loving others. And so as this new year continues, what are we wearing? Who are we listening to? And how are we going to continue to walk in these things? These are things that we desire, but the source is what's important. And how are we going to let God be God this year? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for your word. Lord, there are a lot of good ideas, a lot of good solutions, a lot of good practices out there that do give us a better life, that help us quit addictions, that help us get out of miserable situations, that help us turn impossible situations into possible situations. There are lots of programs and steps and people that can help us with this. And we say thank you for those people. But Lord, because they are just people, because they are just good ideas, they have an expiry date on them. Not everyone lives forever. Not everyone's idea is good for everyone. But Lord, when we look at your story, I pray that we wouldn't just try to tell it differently, but we would tell the different story that it is. That an all-powerful God came, humbled himself for us, so that we could just be with him. The thing that we needed in our life all along. We look for things to provide kindness and compassion and patience. But God, those things were your idea first. And so may we trust you as the source of those things. Lord, would you be with my friends in this church as they go from this place, not just trying to be better, but to be in relationship with you and to trust you this year. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Matt. As we respond this morning, maybe you're in a place of thanksgiving and you want to praise Jesus, but maybe you're broken. Maybe you're in a place where you want to search him more. I don't know. But I want to encourage you to take the time to pray and to reflect on the past year. Maybe you need more of Jesus. We all do. So I welcome you to go up to our prayer teams. They're in the back and upstairs. Go to them and just ask for prayer, whether it's be a praise item or maybe it's a word of encouragement that you need for this new year. Maybe you're searching. Maybe you don't know. We don't all have the answers, but let us go to God together because he is our source. So I'm going to ask that we all stand and sing the next song together.
Hallelujah.
this next song is a new song. And just like how we sang, the Father's arms are open wide. They really are. And the next song is sung from God's perspective and God speaking to you individually. He's always pursuing you. He always wants you to draw closer to him. And that's my prayer for our church this year, is for us to draw closer to God individually, so that together we can come together and bring glory to him.